You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. Normally on Fridays I have a long edition, but this week it'll be short. I looked at what was breaking the news, and they're not long stories except for the very last one, and that's one that will be continuing for probably many years. Last night I turned on the news when I got home, and lo and behold, where the war of words between President Trump and the North Korean leader has escalated. What do I mean by that? You probably have heard Mr. Kim is what I call him, or for short, the Rocket Man, is going to explode, he says. He's going to explode a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific Ocean. Good luck. I think if he makes any move in that direction, that will be it. Then it will escalate and he'll be taken out. I think, quite frankly, he knows his days are numbered because there are a lot of powerful people that are not going to put up with his threats, words anymore. He sort of overplayed his hand, and that is a problem. People overreach, overplay their hand, especially if they're insecure, and have gotten away with it for decades under both President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama. Like I said, there's a new sheriff in town. He's taking names, checking the list, and on the top of the list are two countries, North Korea and the Islamic Republic of Iran. And one of the reasons I think this is really at the point where something needs to be done, I don't think it's necessarily tomorrow, next month, or for that matter, next year. I still think we're in the years in terms of getting this resolved, because it is very difficult to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile. That is difficult. And your nuclear weapon has to be miniaturized and has to survive a flight. That, I think, is in the future. But remember, we have allies, Japan and South Korea, where they're just simply right next to North Korea. And for that reason alone, and the fact that both of those countries rely on the United States' nuclear shield, that this is going to be pressed. Now, I emphasize none of these countries and the people in them, including North Korea, South Korea, Japan, United States, Russia, want war. I don't think that's what's going on here. But a line has been drawn, whether now Donald Trump didn't use the line or red line, and to his credit. But it's clear that the United States wants a denuclearized or dismantling of the nuclear bomb program in North Korea, and it's not going to stop until that happens. And I've been emphasizing on a number of shows who are the countries responsible for North Korea having both a missile program and a nuclear bomb program. Now, there's a list. It's not a long list, but at the top of the list is China. Next would be Russia, Pakistan. They have enabled and created this monster that's right on their borders, and they are in the best position and have the leverage with the regime to make it clear that they're going to have to dismantle their nuclear bomb program. And if he doesn't, there will be consequences. First to China, and that would be an embargo on all goods and services coming in from China, as well as going out. That would not be popular in communist China, because that would put many millions of people out of work there. It would put their economy in a recession, because if we were to pursue a course, we would try very hard to make sure that also included Europe and other countries. It's not in the Chinese Communist Party or People's Liberation Army's interest for an embargo to be put in place. Now, I think through diplomatic channels and hard negotiations, that has been diplomatically put to China, you clean this mess up, and we leave it up to you to decide how to do it. And I think that will inevitably mean a regime change, and the Kim family, not only the leader, but his family, immediate family, would be ousted from power, most likely executed, and a new regime put in its place. Now, that needn't happen, but would happen if we don't see some positive moves by North Korea in dismantling its program and having an international organization verify that the nuclear weapons and missile program, and it's really both, it has been dismantled. And there's an issue of trust. Russia and Communist China have been long-term allies with North Korea. So even if one, namely Communist China, makes clear, well, we're not trading anymore, we're not facilitating the trade through our banks or dummy corporations, and we really don't have any leverage, well, Russia can take up the slack, because both nations are right on the border with the northern border of North Korea. So the rhetoric, I think, will spiral both upwards and downwards. The mistake, and I think it would be a serious mistake, a very unfortunate mistake, is should, and this is the danger of this type of situation, the rocket man, Mr. Kim, miscalculate and fire weapons destroying, killing lives in either Japan or North Korea. We could very much have an accidental war that could quickly escalate into a full-out conventional war or even possibly a nuclear exchange, because people get trigger-happy. And should that happen, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people would die unless it could be quickly stopped. And that's the danger all sides are running right now. I'm not trying to minimize this situation, and I don't blame Mr. Trump. I blame prior administrations for letting it get to this state. I'm not saying it was easy, but the history of appeasing totalitarian regimes, and the one that immediately comes to mind is Adolf Hitler and the Nazis during the 1930s, should be a lesson that at least Americans, as well as British and other nations, have learned. Appeasement of someone like this is not the answer. You have to very early and often take a strong stand and use to the maximum diplomatic pressure. I have no problem with sanctions, but they usually don't work. It takes a long time. And the reason, there's no secret as to why they don't work, people cheat, just like in trade. Yeah, well, we have free trade agreements, but people cheat. They put up non-tariff barriers. They steal your intellectual property. I think you know who I'm talking about. Communist China, as well as Japan, for that matter. They both have similar trade policies. And many people have said currency wars lead to trade wars that lead to real wars. And that is very much the scenario I see happening. And if China does not deliver results, forget about words, we're looking for results here. We're looking for a North Korea that has no nuclear weapons, no bomb factories, capability to quickly turn it around, and certainly is stopping any assistance to Iran. And you see, I think the bigger concern here, and you need to keep this in mind, in many respects, Iran and North Korea have a joint venture to develop the nuclear weapon and missiles. And the last thing the United States wants to see, as far as, and also the nations of Europe and Japan, South Korea, is terrorists having a small nuclear bomb that they smuggle in to a country and explode. Now, in the past, that was sort of out of some television shows. The one that comes to mind is 24, If you're a fan, you know what I'm talking about. If you aren't, either buy the DVDs if you didn't see it on television and play them. I'm not saying it's easy to get nuclear weapons into the United States, but it can be done. Where there's a will, there's a way. And when there are terrorists involved, especially those that are suicidal, in other words, it's a one-way mission. And if they're well-trained and if they're detailed-oriented, they'll get a bomb into the United States and explode it in one of our city with a large population. And that could be New York, it could be Boston, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, you name it. And the reason I say that, it would be smuggled in most likely on a freighter, a ship, and it would dock in a port. And even though we are monitoring that, if it's well planned and thought out, and one of the big issues is the radiation, to shield the radiation so it isn't detected, it's really the threat of a terrorist having a nuclear weapon and exploding it in a city. And these are not agents of a country, they're just a terrorist group. And there are many independent terrorist groups. And Iran is the leading sponsor of terror. And there's always the danger. You know, Puerto Rico today is without electricity. And if they don't get the electricity on, you know, people are going to die. There are elderly in nursing homes that need medication, need air conditioning because it's hot. Well, with no electricity, they don't have their air conditioning. In the winter, they wouldn't have their heating. Don't have refrigeration. And imagine that not in Puerto Rico, but in a wide area of the United States. Now, that could happen with these EPM. And what you do is this would be a little bit more difficult, but I think still doable, is explode a nuclear weapon at a high altitude over the United States. And the electronic pulse would knock out large portions, if not the entire electrical grid, because the electrical grid in the United States, unlike some other countries, with very rare exceptions, it's all on poles. Wooden poles, not even concrete. And a pulse would burn all the innards. What it does, it makes computers and the electrical grid, anything powered by electricity, if it's on, is going to be fried. And that would be a total surprise out of the blue. And you need electricity, for example, to pump gasoline out from the ground. And resupplying, for example, gasoline, trucks that are used to supply it couldn't run because they were on the road when this happened. And that is a real threat. So I mention that because a lot of Americans are tending to focus right now on North Korea, but North Korea and Iran are working together to get the long-range capability of both their missiles and to miniaturize and test and make sure that they have a nuclear weapon. And they are at a level, I think it was 120 kilotons equivalent of a hydrogen bomb, which is much, much bigger than the nuclear atomic bombs that we dropped over Japan. So if they can perfect both the nuclear bombs and the missiles and put them together, they have a deterrent. And that ostensibly is the prime reason both Iran and North Korea want the weapons. They believe if they possess a number of these weapons, then the United States would not intervene in their country. I follow their reasoning, but what they need to understand, right now, the nuclear club is rather small. There are 9 nations. There are probably at least a dozen more that could quickly have nuclear weapons, but they don't want to do them because we never use them, point one. It's very expensive. You got to maintain them and build them. It's not easy to do. So most nations don't want nuclear weapons. And many went down that path and quickly figured it out. This doesn't make sense. So you want to stop, first and foremost, nuclear proliferation around the world, but you also want to stop, even if it's a very remote possibility, of a terrorist attack. And I think it's the responsibility of primarily China to stop this, to a lesser extent Russia, and they better take action. Now, there's some indication we've gotten their attention. Because the last thing I think the Communist Party and the army want in China is millions of people being unemployed because they can't sell their goods in the United States as well as in countries with our allies, including Europe. I hope and don't really believe we will ever get to that point, because I think once you make the case really clear and it's understood that if you want, we're going to put embargoes on, at that point, I think the Chinese government is going to act. And they're in a much better position with leverage and understanding of the country than the United States is. And I'd even say probably even South Korea. And that needs to happen. And it needs to happen, as far as I'm concerned, I'd give them a solid more than a year, you know, about 15 months. That's why I gave the date of January 1st, 2019. And don't tie their hands. Just make clear we don't want war with China, Russia, North Korea, and South Korea. Well, our sole objective is North Korea no longer has nuclear weapons, and there's no longer a joint nuclear program between Iran and North Korea, and a scaling back of their missile program so they don't have long-range missiles. So in some respects, I'm repeating what I've said on at least two, maybe three shows, because the military options, whether it's conventional or nuclear, are not attractive to anybody. It's not that they're taken off the table. It's that should the United States pursue it, I don't think Donald Trump was exaggerating. I think what he's fearing, what I'm fearing, is Kim overplays his hand, and we get into an accidental war, and that's where I don't think anyone wants to go. And if we go there, I firmly believe that regime is over. In other words, we'll tell our military, destroy the regime, take it out. And that means death, destruction in North Korea. And the regime would not survive, nor would most of the military. And we wouldn't be bogged down with a war on the Korean Peninsula, because we would take whatever it took to do this quickly, with trying to minimize the destruction and death, but at the same time making sure that very little damage happens to either South Korea or Japan. And frankly, I think it would be a three-nation attack from Japan, South Korea, and by United States military forces in Japan as well as Okinawa and other places. Do I think war is going to happen this week? No. I don't think the end of the world is tomorrow, by the way. I don't take that very seriously. You never know. If it is, we won't have a Monday program. I think a lot of what he said, the Rocket Man, Mr. Kim, was primarily for his people's consumption. He had to say something. But I think it's not a threat that the United States really believes that he could pull off. And I think Mr. Kim knows it as well. Now, I've resisted until today commenting about the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. And the Senate has to the 30th of September to repeal Obamacare. Otherwise, after the 30th, under Senate rules, which I'll say can be changed, the Republicans would need 60 votes, and they don't have 60 votes. So there's a certain amount of time pressure that's being put on Republican senators. I want a so-called clean, total, complete repeal of Obamacare, and I'll say it again. It's in the title of my post, and before I forget, the way you listen to this show is to go to my companion blog, which is pronkpops.wordpress.com, pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there, under my photograph of yours truly in the studio, you'll have the most recent shows, 60 to 80. I am a little bit behind in posting the podcast. I hope to catch up Saturday, Sunday at the very, very latest, but I really want to get totally caught up as soon as possible. So this show, together with Friday's, Thursday's, and Wednesday's show, have been broadcast, but the podcast is not up because what I do is in post-production, I cut it down a little bit. Usually it's about 25 to 30% less than the web broadcast, because there's always a certain amount of dead air that you can delete. I would say definitely Wednesday's and Thursday's show will be up tomorrow by 5, and I'm going to push to have this show done as well. So please bear with me if you're listening. So if you go to pronkpops.wordpress.com, you can click on any of those links to hear the show for that day. But under that, I usually have photographs, cartoons, as well as YouTube videos primarily, pertaining to the stories that I'm covering. Both the threat by Kim Jong-un to test a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific. We haven't had a above ground, in the air nuclear test for many, many, many years. I think the last one was China, I believe in the 80s. I forget the exact year. But it's been a long while, and I frankly don't think he's going to do that. I think that's just more, you know, huffing and puffing, I'm going to blow your house down type talk. And I sort of agree that I would tone down the rhetoric. It's sort of counterproductive on both sides. But I'm glad President Trump did what he did. I thought the speech was very, very good by President Trump in the United Nations. Except I'm not a fan of the United Nations. It would have been, as far as I'm concerned, an outstanding speech had he ended and said, since the founding of the United Nations, the United States has supported generously, year in, year out, the United Nations. But today, I regret to inform you that we would like the United Nations to leave the United States because the United States is leaving the United Nations. Because the American people, the American taxpayers, are tired of wasting money on an organization where it's become corrupt, bureaucratic, and ineffective. We're no longer going to be the primary funder of the United Nations. So effective, give them a year maybe, 1 January 2019, the United States will be leaving the United Nations. And as soon as you can, we would appreciate it very much if you go elsewhere. Did I think that was going to happen? No. It should have happened, though. It's a big waste of money, and the only reason it doesn't, you have leftists in this country that want to use the United Nations as a way eventually to have one world government. Well, I don't believe in one world government or a regional government. I believe, like Mr. Trump believes, in the sovereignty of the United States government, and it will not be under the United Nations. The United Nations is a failed institution, and it's been corrupted, and I wouldn't waste one more cent with it. I'd pull out entirely. I was listening to Senator Rand Paul. Now, he had an idea, but I don't go along with this, and it would never happen, that we would get more votes or more seats because we contribute a lot of the money. It's not that the United States is the only contributor, but we're one of the largest. So what he's suggesting, we could dramatically scale down what the U.S. taxpayer pays and then let other nations pony up, contribute more. Well, I know the argument. One of the major reasons we gather intelligence. There are 192 nations in the United Nations, and we do gather intelligence. We spy on them. They spy on us, and we spy on them. But as far as I'm concerned, they should convert that building into apartments and tell those nations to find another location. There have been plenty of nations that would, I'm sure, offer land, probably pay for a new building. It's been there many years, so maybe that'll happen. But it won't happen, though, as long as we have two political parties that are for big government. You see, the collectivists amongst us, and they are all over, they want the United Nations. They want big government, and ultimately, if they could, want world government, with the United Nations being the organization that would control all the other nations. Well, I think that's fantasy land. I'm not a believer in world government. And like Trump, I believe the nation state is viable. So what about health care? It's not going to be repealed on the 30th. I think the chances of that are slim and none, and it will die. I want the total repeal, and that means the law, the regulations, taxes, the government spending, the subsidies, everything repealed. And let the private sector offer individual as well as group coverage, regulated by the states. In other words, I don't want the federal government in any way involved. They have royally screwed this up, as they would screw it up with single payer, which, as far as I'm concerned, is not viable. So I don't want to get into many details other than to say, if you're expecting the repeal of Obamacare, the bill that they're voting on would not do that, because the vast majority of spending under Obamacare would continue. What would change is how it's distributed amongst the states. That's why many states that were for the expansion of Obamacare, mostly in states where they're Democratic governors, are opposing it. Because what would happen if this bill would pass is states like California, New York, New Jersey, Ohio would lose to the smaller states. Now, some of you say, well, that's great. No, the spending, the total spending on Obamacare would continue. See, I was not for the expansion of Medicaid. Medicaid is for the poor, and it, like Medicare, is in trouble. Government finances today at least half of all the Medicare in this country. And yes, Medicare for the old, for the elderly over 65, you qualify. Most people qualify when they're 65. But Medicare is running huge deficits. And I've reported on a show a while back that every year there's a report as to when it will become insolvent, and that will be about 2029. In other words, Medicare is in trouble, but so is Social Security. So why, yes, I think you need to cap Medicaid, wouldn't have a problem with that, and give it as block grants, and that's ostensibly what they're doing here. What they're not telling you is the taxes and the government spending would continue. We need to get the federal government out as much of the health insurance industry as possible, as well as the health care industry as possible. Because the way they're going about this, it's pay-as-you-go, is simply not viable over the long term. And this, I look at it as an expansion of entitlements. And that's what it is, and this bill doesn't do it. It's a fake repeal. So Senator McCain didn't go with his buddy, Lindsey Graham. That surprised a lot of people. Senator Rand Paul's against it. Susan Collins is against it. You see, if you're a conservative or a libertarian, someone that's for limited government, you shouldn't be voting for this bill. This is not a total, complete repeal of Obamacare. In other words, when they knew President Obama would never sign the law repealing it, oh, they'd have as many votes and even send the law up knowing that President Obama wouldn't sign it. But when it looks like, and it is right, that President Trump really wants to sign it, then a number of the Republican senators get cold feet. Susan Collins, senator from Alaska, as well as John McCain and others. This is not what the American people believe the repeal of Obamacare meant. It meant lock, stock, and barrel. The laws repeal, the mandates are repealed, both the individual, the employer mandates are repealed. All the taxes, not some, all the taxes are repealed. All the subsidies are repealed. And yes, all the government spending is repealed. If the Republican Party can't do it, the Democratic Party has made clear they won't do it. They won't support this. It won't be bipartisan. Fine. Then it's up to the American people to vote out of office Democrats and Republicans that support this legislation. And that means, yeah, a lot of Republicans stuck out their neck. The American people are tired of being lied to. And if the Republicans want to do this, then in the House, they should be primaried. And if the senator is up for re-election, remember a third, 33 or 34, up for re-election. If a senator's been there and he votes for this, vote primary. Get a primary candidate and challenge him. Or, and this is by far the better solution, we need to have competition in our political process, and that has not happened. We essentially have a two-party system, even though independents, people that register at independents or call themselves independents, outnumber both registered Democrats as well as registered Republicans. We need a viable third party to challenge the two-party tyranny, and that's what it is. And until that happens, don't hope for much, and there's going to be very little change. And that's exactly what's happened. I've given up on the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Its leadership is terrible. And I always say, if you want to check them out, and this usually wakes up a lot of people, go to Conservative Review. They have a scorecard. And look at both the House and the Senate, how many A's there are and how many B's. Most of those A's and B's, especially A's, but also most of the B's, are what I would say are conservative, libertarian, or a classical liberal like myself, that believe in limited government and truly believe in a free enterprise market capitalist system and want a representative republic under the United States Constitution. And that means limited government. But what you'll quickly conclude, the majority, the vast majority, more than 50%, I didn't even think more than 60, I think probably more than two-thirds, are not A's and B's. They're F's and D's. Oh, yeah, there's some C's, but mostly F's and D's, and that's the leadership of the Republican Party in the House and the Senate, and that's the leadership of the Democratic Party, and most of the Democratic Party. There is a few C's in there, but most of the Democrats are rated F's and D's, and most of the leadership, I think, with maybe one exception, are all F's and D's. So I'm not a Republican anymore. It doesn't represent my political philosophy. They can't balance a budget to save their lives. They can't repeal Obamacare. Didn't surprise me. They don't want to. There's no will here. Now, they're trying to make you believe, well, this is the last chance to repeal it. You know, it's my way or the highway. Last chance. Nonsense. There's elections next November, and we will throw out of the House and the Senate those that truly have shown where they really stand. In other words, they're big government conservatives. Well, good. Let them control the Republican Party. And you see, what has to happen, and I think will happen, there will be a formation of a new political party. It's going to take years before it takes off. But at some point, it gets critical mass and is going to replace one, maybe both parties. And that means it will have balanced budgets, it will fundamentally reform the tax system with a broad-based consumption tax, and health care, as well as health care insurance, will have minimum government interference in it. And we no longer will have an American empire. We will bring the troops home and have an American republic. It doesn't mean we might have alliances, but we won't be intervening in country after country. We won't be in the United Nations, and we will downsize the federal government and close permanently 8 to 10 departments permanently. We can't afford them anymore. And we're fast approaching. We've been wasting time. A lot of these fundamental changes, both in the tax system, entitlements, defense, and all departments, should have been done many years ago, and they weren't. We have wasted very valuable, precious time that would have given us other options. Whether we try to prevent the insolvency of this country remains to be seen. We will become Greece. We're not there yet, but within 10 to 20 years, we'll be there. And at that point, I expect a rebellion and a new political party, because the American people are tired of politicians, career politicians, betraying them, lying to them, deceiving them, selling them out. It's slowly boiling. Sometimes it overruns. But people are waking up. Slowly but surely they're waking up. They're leaving. This is not this month or this year or this decade. The trend for people leaving both parties has begun 2-3 decades ago. And like I said, once that's over 50% and stays over 50%, then you'll see the emergence of a new political party that truly believes in the United States Constitution, truly believes in limited government, and believes in leaders that have character, have integrity, that you can trust, and do what they say they're going to do when they run for public office. In other words, if they say they're going to repeal Obamacare by the roots, if you can believe McConnell, then it means repealing the law, it means repealing the mandates, the regulations, all of the taxes, all of the spending, all of the subsidies. This bill does not do it. I don't favor it. And the best person on this, quite frankly, is Senator Rand Paul. And yes, we don't have a written bill. I was listening to Senator Mike Lee, and he was being interviewed by Laura Ingraham, and he made very clear why he's trying to come up with the language to make this bill acceptable. He does not have the text of the bill, and he's a senator. This is the same nonsense the Democrats pull. Where's the bill? Where's the bill? You see, once the bill is exposed, then people look at it and they go, whoops, this is not repeal of Obamacare. They're trying to hide it from you, folks. That's what they're trying to do. This is a phony repeal. I don't care if President Trump gets up behind it. And please don't listen to Senator Graham, they better start fulfilling their promises. My suggestion is, if you can't do it, retire. Or become a Democrat. Just get out of the Republican Party. But they're not going to do that. They're career politicians. It's greased. They're doing the bidding. Most of them are paid for or rented politicians. And they are really ignoring the concerns of the American people. And this is hurting the American people. Obamacare is collapsing. Have no doubts about that. It was designed to collapse. That's the dirty secret, because the Democrats wanted single payer. And the single payer is who? The United States government, who's going broke. $20,000 billion in debt, over $200,000 billion in unfunded liabilities, principally for Social Security, Medicare, Obamacare, and pensions. They haven't set the money aside. There's no trust fund. There isn't. It's not like when you have your own plan and have invested the money, and when you retire, if you're successful, you have money. They didn't do that. They spent it all. It's a pay-as-you-go system, and this is not sustainable, because late 2020s or early 2030s, kapunk. And you need to understand something. That sounds like it's a far away proposition. No. More and more of the baby boom generation is retiring. I'm on the leading edge of that. So when they reach 65, they become eligible for Medicare. And when they reach either 66 or 67, maybe even 68, they become eligible for Social Security, which means they're going to get a check. And there's literally slightly under 75 million baby boomers. I don't know how many are collecting Social Security, good number of them, but more and more will be collecting it. So those dates that I gave you are going to be moved closer and closer to us. That's why I said sometime between 10 years from now and 20, this thing collapses. It's not sustainable. And most of the politicians that are there that understand this, they plan to be retired. Like Mitch McConnell. I think he's been there over 33 years. Some of the House leadership have been there for at least 10, 15, 20 years. There are definitely people that understand that this cannot continue. But neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party wants to take this on, because they want to blame the other party. Just got the signal, I got to wrap it up. Which is too bad. I spent too much time on the repeal of Obamacare, but I want to highlight this. Cheryl Atkinson wrote an excellent piece in The Hill, and she also was interviewed on the Hannity Show, and I have a clip of it. The biggest scandal right now that you're not hearing about is the Obama administration was spying on the American people. I call it the secret surveillance spy state scandal. It's misusing the United States intelligence community for political purposes. They are spying on you. That's a gross abuse of power. It is very much a conspiracy, a real collusion, a real conspiracy. It's a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights, and this is many order of magnitudes greater than Watergate. And more gradually is going to come out, and we're going to see. I think maybe President Obama, or definitely several people in his administration, will be going to jail. It's that serious. This is what I would call a gross abuse of power. I don't have time to get into it, but they've been spying on you and using the National Security Agency, the FBI, the Central Intelligence Agency to spy on Americans. Why? They wanted to know what their political opponents were doing, or people that oppose them on policy matters. This is way over the line. This is what some say what banana republics do. It's what tyrants do. It's what dictators do. It's a police state. And we've had people in the Obama administration, and it doesn't surprise me. I expected this. They're misusing, for political purposes, the intelligence community, starting with the National Security Agency, then the CIA, as well as the FBI. I don't have time to get into it, but don't worry. There'll be more opportunities. There'll be more stories. I want to thank you for listening to the Pronk Pop Show. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.